In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with Louisa Finds Peace in Everything in the Divine Will. And this is part one. We are on page 7. We're on volume 7, 9/18/1906. Louisa begins, "My daughter Louisa, peace is light for the soul." So here, you know, you think about Christ on Mount Tabor. You think about Our Lady at Guadalupe, the woman clothed with the sun. And Jesus says, peace is light for the soul. So when you are peaceful, when we are peaceful, our soul is filled with light, filled with life, filled with love. And therefore, he says, not only for your soul, but it's light for your neighbor, okay? Your family, it's light for your family. It's light for your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. When you're driving down the street, it's light for people. And this is, again, what our God is asking, that we begin to understand that we're to be light. You are the light of the world, Jesus says. He says, now I'm going to call you to a deeper understanding of this light that God gave to Louisa. And he says this, it's a light for the soul, it's light for her neighbor, it's light for God. God has a place to dwell. When there is peace, when the soul is filled with peace, when we're peaceful, joyful, and happy, God can be there. And that's what he's looking for. He's looking for the souls that want what he wants. He is so in love with us. He is so in love with us. And he asks us to begin to allow him to reign in us. But when there's darkness, when there's misery, when there's fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, it's just darkness. The Lord doesn't dwell in darkness, and he can't be with us. He says, so therefore, a soul who is at peace is always light. L-I-G-H-T, light. The light of the sun. There's clarity with light. There's no darkness. There's no confusion. The soul who is at peace is always light. And being light, the soul is always united to the eternal light of God, from which she draws ever new light. See, it's not just things that you're used to. It's new, a divine way of holiness, as John Paul II said. A new and divine way of holiness. He says very, very clearly, she is always united to the eternal light of God, which she draws ever new light. Nothing's the same. It's always new. It's always of God. So as to be able to give this light of God to other souls also. When, you know, how many times do you want to help someone? And you can help them, you know, physically. You can help them in human situations, you know, with an understanding. But when you have this light of this eternal light of God reigning in each and every one of us in the divine will, what happens at that point is the souls begin to bring a spiritual healing to those other souls around us. And we've mentioned this before, a good mother, when there is a thunderstorm and the children are afraid, the good mother, you know, holds their child and says, everything's going to be okay, and calms the child down and heals that child of that fear. This is what the light of Christ is all about. When we trust in him, when we believe in him and hope in him, and he is reigning in us, as he says to Louisa, we can bring healing to all those that are around us. I don't know how many times people are, you know, hear things on, you know, in the news, hear things on television, and they're going, oh my goodness, this is going to happen, and then that's going to happen, and that. And it's like, and it doesn't happen. It's like fear mongering. It's all this fear is around us. This lack of trust. This trying to make us unpeaceful. And no, if you trust in Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, if you hope in Jesus, if you have confidence in Jesus, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. If you're praying for physical, spiritual, mental, emotional healings, God is going to answer your prayer. You might not see it in this life, but all your prayers are going to bring about a new beginning in the eternal life where we're supposed to live. Like, remember what Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno? She says, my children are going to enter into the beatific vision. That's where the children belong. That's where God originally planned for his children to be. In that beatific vision of God. She says the evil one and his children will never enter into the beatific vision. Because they don't want what's of God. They don't want it. They would rather be living in sin than turning back to God. And this is the whole reason we're here. We're here on earth to basically say to Jesus, I want to be one with you, Lord. I want to be fused with you, Lord. I want you to reign in me, Lord Jesus. I don't want anything that is separate from you. And our Lord looks at us, our Lord, and he says to Luisa, I have to give everyone what they want. If you want the divine will, it's 30, 60, or 100-fold. Whatever you want, I will give to you. If this is what you're striving for, your prayer will be answered. If it's the world, the flesh, and the devil, God says, that's what you want, I have to give this to you. Now what happens when that occurs to in a soul? The soul begins to live hell while on earth. It's the same thing for the little children of the Holy Divine Will. If you want heaven, you begin to live heaven on earth, being peaceful, joyful, and happy. This is a new beginning for everybody. This is such a glorious time our God is giving to us. And he's asking us, he's pleading with us, I have to give you what you want. What do you want? Do you want to be peaceful? Do you want to be joyful? Do you want to be happy? So again, this is what Jesus is saying very, very clearly to us. United to the eternal light for which he is, draws ever new light to be able to give light to others. So if you want ever new light, you have to be at peace. If you want this eternal light of God, this eternal life of God, this eternal love of God, you have to be peaceful, full of peace. And what is the peace? It's fiat to God. What is that peace? Fiat, let it be done as you say. Fiat, I trust in you. Fiat, I believe in you. In this situation, fiat, thank you, Lord. This is what you want. This is what I want. Our Lord is our Savior, our King, our God. He has everything planned for us. And certain things we might not understand, but we have to be like Our Lady, who said, fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say, to the angel. We have to be like Jesus, who said to his Heavenly Father, not my will, but your will be done. We have to be like Luisa, who learned from Jesus and Mary. And what did she say? She said, fiat mihi, be done to me on earth as it is in heaven. This is what God is looking for. So he says very clearly, so if you want at this ever new light of God, this eternal light of God, you want to give this to your family, You have to be peaceful. You have to be joyful. You have to be happy. This is what God is waiting for in us. He really loves us very much. And he gives us the book of heaven so that we can begin to live this abundant life. That's what he's waiting for. Volume 7, 10, 13, 1906. My daughter, in order to know whether a soul is stripped of everything, it is enough to see this. He says, even if it's holy, or even indifferent desires arises within the soul, if the soul is ready to sacrifice them to the divine will of God with holy peace, it means that that soul is stripped of everything that is human. Everything of, there's nothing of the world, the flesh, or the devil in that soul. Okay, so let's look at what could happen. Even if it's holy, you get in prayer, God asking you something, and you say, fiat. You know, and the Lord might be saying, you know, I'd like you to pray a little longer each day. I'd like you, when you make your holy hour, to stay till the very end. Don't leave a minute early. And our response is, fiat. But yes, Lord, whatever you want, I want. See, this is what the Lord, this is how our lady responded. This is how our Lord responded to the Father. Not my will, your will. Our lady, fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. Luisa, fiat voluntas, may your kingdom reign in me, this earth, this dust, as the saints possess it in heaven. And when we begin to do this, how glorious is this? How magnificent is this? Our Lord loves us, and he's asking us. He's asking us to enter into this peace. Are you willing to sacrifice everything? Look, you might have your plans. You might have your plans. And when you pray, and the thing that's really interesting, when you pray, God says, I have to give you what you want. What do you want? And if you pray and you choose something that's separate from God, and God says, okay, it might not be his perfect will for you, but you say, I really want this. God says, okay. I know a number of people, you know, going into college, they say, I want to do this. And God has another plan for them. And they say, I want this. And God goes, okay. It's going to be a difficult life, but this is what you want. We always have to go back and ask God again when we pray. This is important. What do you want, Lord? You know, you might have your heart set on something, and you say to the Lord, but what do you want? In that moment of prayer, when you really are honest with God, what do you want? He will tell you what he has planned for you. And a lot of times, people go, no, I don't want that. God goes, okay. This is what I planned for you from the beginning of time. This is the divine masterpiece that I wanted for you, for your soul. But you don't want it. Okay? What do you want? That's a frightening thing, because God has to give you what you want. He has to. And when we say no to God, he might not ever give you that chance again. You've already said no to him. And that was the opportunity to say yes. And it might have been a difficult situation, but if this is what God has asked, then so be it. When this is what this is all about right here, what Jesus is saying. He says, whether to know if a soul is stripped of everything that is human, it is enough to see this. If it's holy or even indifferent desires arises with the soul and she is ready to sacrifice those desires, those holy things, to the divine will. Let it be done as you wish, Jesus. What do you want, Lord? with holy peace, it means that she is stripped of that which is human. But if the soul becomes disturbed, upset, it means that she is keeping something for herself. I don't want this. I've heard people say that. I don't want this. And we have to learn from Jesus and Mary how to live in the divine will. They're the Son of God, the Mother of God. This is what they taught Louisa. Remember, Louisa could walk when Jesus said to her, I want you to go to bed and stay there. And she said, okay. 40 years later, she says, you know, I didn't know I was going to be here for 40 years. And she still had another, 24, 25 years after that. What's really important is that when we say to God, fiat, it's saying, I know you love me, and I know what you have planned something for me. I don't know what it is, but I trust you. I believe you. This is why the Divine Mercy Chaplet is so important to pray. It's the final devotion, Jesus said to St. Faustina, that I give to my church before I return. The final devotion. So the Lord looks at us and he says, are you ready? Are you ready to accomplish what I have planned for you? And when we say yes, he goes, okay. But again, in your prayer, you have to ask the Lord, what do you want for me? Is you said yes to this, but you say have to say yes to everything. You know, not everything. He says, this is what I have planned for you. But if you choose something different, he says, okay, how many times does a person choose something that's against God, really, in their life? And then for the rest of their life, they suffer with that choice. And it didn't have to be that way. It didn't have to be that way. But that's what they chose. And God said, okay, that's not my perfect plan for you. But it's going to be a more difficult time now for you. But I'll be with you. And that's what he's doing here. He's saying, he wants to know if we're stripped of all that is of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Is it gone from us? If she becomes disturbed or upset, it means she is keeping something for herself. There's not that fiat to God. See, the whole book of heaven is to teach us how to say fiat. That's the whole book of heaven. Saying to God, let it be done as you say. Volume 7, 12-3-1906. Now while I was fidgeting, Jesus came out in passing from within my interior. Okay, so this is said often to us to make us recognize that that's where God dwells, in Louisa. He dwells in Louisa. And this is what he wants for us. If we are linked to Louisa, this can also happen to us. And here she's fidgeting. And Jesus said to Louisa, what is the matter with you? You know, what is the matter with you? Calm yourself, calm yourself. Here I am, not only with you, but in you. Do we believe that? Jesus is not only with us, but in us. If we are not focused on the things of heaven, God is very far from us. But if we are focused on the things of heaven, how glorious is this? This is a magnificent time to be alive. He's not only with us, he's in us. And that's what your prayer life becomes in the divine will. When you make your rounds, you're praising God with the praise of God. I adore you, God, with your adoration. I praise you, God, with your praise. I glorify you with your glory. That's to be in God's image and likeness. That's why he wants the divine will to reign in us, so we can accomplish what he is doing. We can do what God does. Breathe in my breathing. Jesus breathes his new breathing. He takes us at our word. Beat in my heart beating. God beats in our heart beating. He takes us at our word. The Lord has great, great, great plans. Wonderful, magnificent plans. And he looks for our fiat. He looks, this is why he gave us the book of heaven. To begin to understand how to live in God's will. Not just to do the will of God that the saints did, but to live in God's will. This is what God is looking for. So he says, what's the matter with you? Now, that's how we have to talk to ourselves sometimes when we're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. And you can say, hey, what's wrong with you? God is with you. God is in you. Focus on him. Focus on the fiat. You know, you treat yourself as you would a stubborn mule sometimes. Stop this. You know, turn back to God. Stop this. This misery. And trust in him. Believe in him. And hope in him. Have confidence in him. So this is one of the great reasons for being in front of the Blessed Sacrament. To begin to recognize the love that God has for us. How much love he has for us. You know. So here's Jesus saying to her, what's the matter with you? Calm yourself down. Calm yourself. I am here, he says. I am God here. Not only with you, but in you. And then, I do not want this restless heart, this murmuring. That's one of the things that we have to stop, is our murmuring. You know, I should have said that. I should have said this. They said this, and I should have come back with that. That's not how God wants us to live. God does not want us to live like that at all. God wants us to recognize and have a new beginning, and it's to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. Calm yourself. Stop worrying. I was talking to a woman the other day, and she started complaining and saying, oh, this is going to happen and that. I said, stop it. What's wrong with you? Stop it. And she says, well, I know this is, I said, you know, you want to be miserable. You love your misery. You don't want to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. You want to be miserable. You can't trust in Jesus. You can't, you don't have confidence in him. I said, pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Jesus, I trust in you. I said, how are you going to live in the divine will when you can't even say fiat in this little situation that you're complaining about? See, we need to be honest with ourselves. And like I was talking about with that prayer. Lord, I really think this is what I need. And God goes, okay. Then you think, but what do you want, Lord? And then listen. He will tell you. And he needs us to cooperate. He really, really does. He needs us to say, give this yes. He says, I don't want this restlessness in your heart. I don't want this murmuring that's going on in your brain continuously. You know, it's to, everything is fiat, I trust you. Fiat, I believe in you. Fiat, I have confidence in you. Fiat, you're my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. You're my God, I trust you. God goes, okay, good. Let me see what we can do now. Everything in you must be sweetness and peace. Everything in us must be sweetness and peace. It's to trust in him, to believe in him. This is why there's sweetness and peace. He's our God. He's our God. He's our Savior. He's not going to abandon us. And he needs us to recognize that. He says, everything in you must be sweetness and peace in such a way that it may be said of you that which is said about me, Jesus. Image and likeness. That's what the divine will is. It's no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more doubts, no more sin. Jesus, I trust you. He says very, very clearly, it may be said of you that which is said about me, that nothing but milk and honey flows within Jesus, symbolizing the sweetness with honey and the peace with milk. Sweetness and peace. This is what God is waiting for. And if we're far from Jesus, there's no sweetness, there's no peace. If we're close to Jesus, he's teaching us how to live that life, how to live his life. I am, listen to what Jesus is saying. I am so filled and soaked with sweetness and peace that sweetness and peace pours out from my eyes, pours out from my mouth, pours out from all of my works. That's what Jesus is saying he wants to see in us. He wants us in his image and likeness. You have to be, I have to be, filled and soaked with sweetness and peace. This sweetness and peace must pour out from our eyes, from our mouth, and from all that we think, say, and do. From our works. How much our Lord loves us. How much our Lord loves us. That he is going to give to us, which he only hinted at with the disciples, with the apostles, with the saints. Because it wasn't time yet. How do we know it wasn't time yet? Because they did not have Luisa Picaretta. Luisa possessed this gift. Luisa, the newborn of the divine will. He says, you are the model, he says to Luisa, that everyone will emulate. You, Luisa. He says, the destiny of mankind is on your shoulders. Because of what you are going to do, what God is going to do with you, a new beginning is going to happen for all the world. How magnificent little Luisa is. Who's this little newborn, Luisa Picaretta? Who is this little newborn? She is our little mama, Jesus says. And if you are not likewise, if you are not like this, like me, sweetness and peace, excuse me, I, God, feel dishonored by you. Do you see what dishonors Christ if we're not like him? Again, you receive Holy Communion, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. You're supposed to become like him. When you receive Holy Communion, you're supposed to be more like him after receiving Holy Communion than before. More and more like him. That's what God is waiting for. And he looks at us and he says to us, are you ready to be like me or are you going to dishonor me by not being like me? And see, you think about this 40, maybe 60 plus days without Holy Mass for the majority of people. The priests can go to Mass every day, but the people are not in the churches. And Jesus says, when the churches close, I have closed them. I'm tired of the sacrilegious. I'm tired of the indifferences. I'm tired of being ignored. And I will close the churches. He tells that to Luisa. All the churches are closed throughout the world, basically. Jesus did that. How many people go to confession? and truly go to confession. And how many people receive Holy Communion? Not in the state of grace. How sad that is for the Lord. How sad that is for the Lord. Jesus has closed the churches. And why? He says, where's the sweetness and peace in the souls? He says, I feel dishonored. You receive me, body, blood, soul, and divinity at Holy Communion. And you still remain in your miserable human will. I feel dishonored by you because while the one who is all peace, Jesus Christ himself, the one who is all sweetness, Jesus Christ himself, dwells within you, and you do not honor me by showing even the slightest shadow of resentful and a restless heart. You do not honor me by showing even the slightest shadow of a resentful and restless heart. You know, we've mentioned this before. You love God as much as you hate someone. As much as you hate someone, as much as you haven't forgiven someone, as much as you haven't, if you hold a grudge against somebody, that's how much you love God. How can you say that? Because Jesus said it. You're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So if you hate your neighbor, that's what you're really doing with God. Do you see when the illumination of conscience comes, how many people are going to be astonished? I love God. I hate that guy over there, but I love God. No, it can't be like that. Our job is to get so close to Jesus that what people see is Jesus. What did he say to his persecutors on the cross? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's us. We're the ones that have persecuted him by our sins. He's the one that took upon himself our death. Jesus says this, I love this sweetness and peace so much. See, this is Jesus. That even if we're about something great concerning my honor and glory, I do not want, I never approve, resentful, violent, fiery manners, but rather sweet and peaceful manners. You know, even in driving, a lot of times people get upset while they're driving with other drivers. And they don't even think of going to confession about that. They don't even think about it. Jesus says this. He says, I love this sweetness of peace so much that even if it were about something great concerning my honor and my glory, I do not want, I never approve this resentful, violent, fiery manner, but rather the sweet and peaceful manners, the reflection of Jesus and Mary and the soul. Our Lord loves us very much. He's got great plans for us. But he is asking us to go to Louisa to learn how to be like him, how to be like his mother. He says, in fact, sweetness alone is that which binds hearts like a chain in such a way that the hearts cannot unbind themselves from God. We're one with his sacred heart. We're one with the Immaculate Heart of Mary. They can't unbind themselves. It is like pitch that sticks to them and they cannot free themselves and are forced to say, in this soul, there is the finger of God, for we cannot act otherwise. It's like pitch that sticks to them. You ever try to get tar off you? This sweetness alone is binds the heart like a chain to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary in such a way that that soul cannot unbind themselves. It is like pitch that sticks to them and they cannot free themselves, and therefore they are forced to say, in this soul there is the finger of God, for we cannot act otherwise. In this soul there is the Sacred Heart of Jesus bound to that heart. There is the Immaculate Heart of Mary bound to that heart. So therefore the heart of that person cannot act any other way. You see what God's got planned for us? A new and divine way of holiness, as John Paul II said. A new and divine way of holiness. God is bound to that soul. And if then I, God, do not like a resentful manner, not even creatures shall like it. Okay, so this peacefulness and this sweetness, he says, that's what everybody's going to fall in love with. This gentleness, this heart. Learn from me, Jesus said. You who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. He says, take my yoke upon your shoulders and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Learn from Jesus. You want his heart to be one with your heart. You want to exchange hearts with him and the Blessed Mother. Jesus says, if one speaks about or deals with things, even of God, with manners that are not sweet and not peaceful, it is a sign that that soul does not have his passions in order. If there's not a sweetness and a peacefulness there, that soul does not have his passions in order. He's controlled by his passions. And one who does not keep himself in order cannot order others. And in most families, this is the problem. I kind of spend handed down from generation after generation. I know this one family where the father beat his son, who is now a great, great grandfather. And he beat his son. And his son beat his son. And his son beat his son. It goes from generation after generation after generation. And Jesus says, I want this stopped. That's what the divine will is all about. We're not going to live like this any longer. We're going to learn how to live the way God originally planned for mankind how to live. And he says, if you don't stop it, it's going to go on for another generation. Do you want that? Do you want that? This has to stop. This misery has to stop. And Jesus is giving us a way of how it's going to stop. And it's going to be Jesus that does this. It's the new Adam and the new Eve. The life of Jesus and Mary is coming upon the earth. This is the fire from heaven. It's the love of God coming upon the earth. And for those who do not want Jesus and Mary, it will be wailing and grinding of teeth, because God has to give them what they want. They don't want this sweetness. They don't want this peace. They don't want this joy. They don't want this happiness. They have rebelled against God, and they echo the prayer of or the words of their father, I will not serve, I will not obey. This has got to stop. And it's got to stop with us. Or it will go on for the next generation. Jesus is expecting an awful lot from us. And it's not them that has to change. It's us that have to change. And that's why he talks about this sweetness and this peace. It's not to be a miserable human being. It's not to be a screaming maniac in your home. It's to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. And that's why Jesus says, if the passions are not in order, if his passions are not in order, basically, one who does not keep himself in order cannot order others. Your family cannot be directed by you because you're out of order. It's Jesus is saying this. Where's the sweetness? Where's the peace? I mean, it even goes to jokes and humor. You know, a lot of humor is demeaning of other people. That's why I look at some comedians like Brian Regan. He is funny because he's not mocking others. And humor isn't to ridicule other people. I mean, we had like the Three Stooges where they would, you know, slap and kick and punch each other. And that is not good humor. Humor is a reality, and the funny that comes out of which is real. That's what some good comedians do. So what is our comedy like when we tell a joke? Is it demeaning others? Or are we looking at the situation and finding humor in the situation? Not to destroy a human, to tear down a human, but to delight in that which is funny. So, I mean, this is what Jesus is showing us. He's showing us very, very clearly. If your passions are not in order, if you use humor to hurt people, there's no sweetness, there's no peacefulness. It is a sign that your passions are not in order. And the one who does not keep himself in order cannot help others, cannot order others. So Jesus says to us, and he says this to Louisa, and therefore to us, therefore be careful with anything that is not sweetness and peace, if you do not want to dishonor me. We want to please God in all things. We want God, we want the Lord to look at us and smile. We don't want to dishonor God any longer. So he's teaching us. Learn the sweetness of peace of Jesus. That doesn't mean to be effeminate. It means the strength of a father isn't beating their son. The strength of a father is what Jesus says here, sweetness and peace. It's the strength of a mother is to have, when the child runs to the mother, help me. And, you know, they're in a thunderstorm. And the mother says, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. That sweetness, that peace is God. And this is what Jesus is asking of us. He's asking us to enter into this life of peace, joy, and happiness. Enter into this life of happiness. And when we do this, we honor God. God is reigning in us. He's with us and in us. When we receive Holy Communion, honor Him by being have this sweetness and peace with those all those around you. You know, it's not to be macho for the guys. It's to be have the sweetness and peace of Jesus reigning in us. That's what he's teaching us today. And again, not to forget what he said, to put it into practice. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.